This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN? Oh, what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found — I am not a therapist — I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it, and sometimes it makes you realize, like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You are listening to the ifanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 71, sponsored by geekarmor.com. Oh, that's right. Josh is back.
Yay.
We just want to emote till we're dead. I know we suffer for fashion or whatever. We don't want these days to ever end. We just want to emasculate them forever, forever, forever.
Hey, welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 71, and I'm so excited to be back here. I'm Josh. I'm here with Ron.
Hey!
And Connor.
Hola.
See how happy they are to have me too.
Hola!
iFanboy.com is where we like comic books and we write about them every week. One of us will read — we'll all read all our books. One of us will pick the best one.
Uno.
This episode of iFanboy.com is brought to you by geekarmor.com.
Is that Japanese or Spanish?
It's a Japanese dude in Mexico.
It's George Takei, like,
in Mexico.
You should please come to Taco Bell.
It's like the joke where you put in bed on something, you just put in Mexico.
So we all read a bunch of comic books each week, and then one of us has the task of picking the best one that they read that week, and they put a review up on the site, and then we come here, and we chat about it here. And boy, it was a huge...
Big old week.
It was a fat book, comic book week.
Fat book.
I don't know why I said that. It was all $4.99, $5.99.
Yeah, they were. They're all
I spent another $50.
This is killing me.
You know
this
what's
is
funny
killing
is
me.
This is the point, by the way, on the show where we usually warn you about spoilers. Yeah. But if you don't know what happened this week, you're deaf, dumb, and blind.
Wait, where were you?
What happened this week?
Something happened this week?
I have no idea.
All right, so before we get into actual book, what was our Wednesdays like?
Okay, Connor walked into the office.
Yeah, I walked in, I sat down, within 2 minutes, there's a guy in the office who sort of reads comics, sort of, like, every now and then he buys a comic and reads it. He walks in and goes, so, they killed Captain America. I went, oh. And I put my head down, because I didn't know.
And this is like around 10 a.m.
or so? This is 9:30.
And I came in 5 minutes later and did the exact same thing to me.
Nice.
And I was like...
Ironically, what happened was is that around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, like 2 or 3, Connor IM'd me, assuming I knew, and it was something like, oh, did you see the conversation about the Cap thing? And I just went, oh, yeah, yeah. And I went, what Cap thing? And I went to our site, and I was like, oh, crap! So unbeknownst to Connor, he completely ruined it for me. I was completely media disconnected, and then it got ruined for me.
I don't think I would have made it.
No, we wouldn't have made it.
No, because literally 10 minutes after that happened, I walked out of my office, and like 4 people inundated me. They're like, did you see what happened? What do you think? How did that? And I had to explain Civil War, and I had to explain everything that was happening. And it was
on page 2 of my newspaper, which for some reason I did not buy that morning, which is weird.
Yeah.
But like I bought it later, opened it up, and there it was.
Like the page.
Yeah.
Big. And like there was a news crew at the comic store. I'm like,
Reuters.
Get out of the
way.
Horrible. So anyway, Connor had the pick this week. I didn't want to guess what it was.
So did you feel pressure to pick Captain America number 25? Did you feel like you had to?
No, because if anyone knows, when Civil War came out, I didn't pick it. You know, there's events.
You buck convention.
I don't care if it's the best, the most important, talked about thing of the week. If it's not the best book, I'm not going to pick it.
Captain America, Robin 159 from 3 weeks ago.
Captain America 25 had the distinction of being not only the big media event, but it was also a fantastic comic book.
It really was.
So while there may have been other books that would have been in the running other weeks, it would have made me really think hard, Captain America was so good that nothing else was even considered at that
point. Can I borrow one of your books while we talk about it? I sold mine. I didn't.
And what's funny is we were talking about how many books we were going to buy, and I was joking to one of you about how, screw it, I'm just going to pick the first book I read and not
that.
Care.
Yeah.
Cap was the first book I read, and that's just the way it worked out. But so Captain America 25, is as you know, Cap was killed.
Yep.
He was shot.
In the aftermath of Civil War?
In the aftermath of Civil War, he was gunned down on the way to the courthouse by brainwashed Sharon Carter and Crossbones also.
Which literally, when that last page happened, I went, oh, damn! I was like, I didn't see that coming at all.
I gotta tell you, I really wish if this hadn't been spoiled for me, can you imagine turning that page and be like, oh, man.
Well, but the thing is that what I thought was great is that everybody's been complaining, we'll talk about this later on in the voicemails and emails, but everybody's been complaining about the spoiling, and, I mean, that's not as big of a deal. I'm more interested in see how it happens.
Right,
the Sharon twist at the end was the thing that I didn't know.
That wasn't spoiled.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Actually, it was spoiled. It was.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Somebody on our website posted that.
Jerks. God, I hate our website. Kidding.
This was apparently, from what we've all been finding out since then, this has been the culmination of Brubaker's entire run.
Really?
Because he's been playing this from the beginning.
Wow.
And it's the reason why he brought Bucky back, which assumes he's going to be the new Cap, if that's what that means.
I like Connor's other theory better.
Which is?
That the new Captain
the new
America.
Cap's going to be a guy with jet black hair named Roger Stephenson.
And he'll have a mustache. They'll be like, Steve, no.
Roger. Maybe even a goatee. I don't know.
Like a big bushy mustache and glasses.
Oh, that's great.
What are you talking about? Steve Rogers is dead. That's crazy talk. Oh, man. I can't wait to go back and listen to my Irving Berlin CDs. What? I mean, Guns N' Roses.
So this was a very emotional. I mean, this was written. Talk about the genius of Ed Brubaker. It was written so you would not be unsatisfied if you've been reading all along. But also, if you're just coming into this book,
I don't read. I mean, I read the trades of Captain America, but I don't normally read it.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's written so in a way that you can be totally new to the book, like the hordes of people at the comic stores this week.
Yeah.
And I think you can enjoy it. I mean, I don't know. I read it every week, so I don't know. But I mean, it's flashback, but it's also. It propels the story forward without getting bogged down in the flashbacks. It gives you a good sense of who Falcon is. It gives you a good sense of who Bucky is. It gives you a good sense of Sharon Carter. It gives you a good sense of Cap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is masterful. If this had been done by anybody else, I would have been probably really more annoyed than I was. I was really in denial. These guys can tell you Wednesday.
You were distraught.
I think even I don't even in the pick of the week review, I didn't even write that. I don't think he was dead. I think he's dead. But Wednesday night, I didn't think he was really dead.
And you didn't believe Sharon Carter did it either.
Because if you look at the page where the shooting happens, she's far back.
Yeah.
Then I realized it's probably just a jump in motion between panels. But right. I thought she was too
See,
far
there's
back.
Juxtaposition in between time passes.
Yeah,
and
I understand. I thought Red Skull was screwing with her to make her think she did it.
Yeah.
And which she actually didn't, but I guess she did. Then I was angry yesterday, and now I'm just kind of resigned.
You've gone through all the stages
I've gone through the accelerated stages of grief.
Yeah, but he's not. Steve Rogers isn't gone. There's no way.
They're doing an autopsy in the next issue.
No. But think about it. Like, for a while, Red Skull was walking around in the Steve Rogers clone body.
True. Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like that. Like, his main enemy has the Cosmic Cube, so...
Yeah.
No, I mean, there are a multitude of ways this is going to be undone, and it will be undone. It's just a matter of when.
But
I think it's going to be a while, which really makes me
good.
Sad.
No, I mean,
what I'm saying is...
It's good and bad.
Because, I only read the Captain America Brubaker stuff, you know,
recently,
within the last couple of months, and when I say... Ed Brubaker made me fall in love with that character. He really did, and that doesn't happen a whole lot with these guys. Him and even having him in Bendis' New Avengers, like those two places where I was like, wow, I really
this has been the past two, three years has been like a Captain America resurgence.
Oh yeah, totally.
And it's just totally bittersweet now because he's dead.
Well, this story was bigger than the Spider-Man Unmasking story.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Which
I wouldn't have thought.
To be honest, and comparatively, I know Connor and I talked about this a lot in San Francisco at WonderCon about the possible Nightwing death in Infinite Crisis.
Mm-hmm. They talked about how they had planned to kill him, and then they wussed out.
And I was saying to Connor, I'm like, that probably would have been a good story. Like, if that's where they were going, like, that probably would have been really good.
Can you imagine Marvel, my reaction to that? My Captain America reaction times 1,400?
Right, yeah, yeah, true. Marvel did it. I feel like Marvel takes the riskier choice.
Well, DC killed Superman. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, okay,
and they killed the Flash.
And then they made him blue and red.
Yeah, and then they brought him back.
This is going to lead to some great stories, I have no doubt. I'm in for the long haul as long as Brubaker's running this death story.
I think I'm going to start buying it now.
My problem, you should.
Yeah.
And my problem is, for me, everyone knows I'm most of the DC guy. Captain America's always been my Marvel touchstone. Mm-hmm. You know, he's always my favorite.
On Wednesday,
Marvel
you were done with Marvel.
Yeah.
Like at a certain point on Wednesday, it's like, I don't think I'm buying any more of these.
He's been always been my favorite Marvel character. Now it's like I feel like there's a missing hole in the Marvel universe.
It's tough. It's a hard road. Real quickly, I mean, we talked about Brubaker, but as a person coming in late to the game, Steve Epting's art was just unbelievable. I was blown away.
He'd mentioned to me that like Steve Epting came out
when he came along originally in the '90s. Yeah. He started doing Avengers. I thought it was the most boring art I've ever seen, and it could still be. I think he benefits greatly from the color and the new coloring.
Yes, yes.
He's one of those artists where the new the new digital coloring really really enhances his art.
There's a subtlety to his art.
He's also grown. Right? He's gotten a better artist.
I think he's evolved the style.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But there's a subtlety to this art that really impressed me. In that it's just absolute chaos and totally stuff going on, but you felt it and you didn't feel it in the words. You felt it in the pictures.
It feels to me he's taking a little bit from the Michael Lark style. Like, I feel like he's been influenced by that a little bit. Maybe just developed at the same time or whatever. It very much reminds me of that, which I've been familiar with longer. One of the things that I always thought was interesting about this book since Brubaker took over is that you would think in a Marvel book that's Captain America, the coloring would be more
primary.
Vibrant. Yeah. Yeah. It's very dark and shadowy.
It's very subdued, and it has been the whole time, which is really it's an ironic choice to go with.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I think it makes the flashbacks that much easier to because the flashbacks are dark and
black
grim.
And white. Yeah,
I mean,
they
really look like World War II kind of. You know.
I think one of the things when we talked to Ed Brubaker about this was he wanted to take Caps back to a real place. I mean, he's a soldier out there fighting his battle, and it's not a primary color type of thing. He gets his hands dirty. He kills. I mean, he doesn't anymore, but he did at one point in time. But so it's just. I mean, I find this more appropriate to Cap than the primary colorway he used to be written.
Right.
He's very much of a secret agent in this, more than a superhero.
In red, white, and blue.
Right. As secret as you can be running around a chainmail.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I mean, I just, this was great. I have to, I mean, it's tough. It's an easy pick for it to be the pick of the week, but as a landmark moment, but it earned it. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it wasn't cheap.
It was
anticlimactic. I mean,
yeah. And if you can find a copy because you didn't pick it up, well, good for you.
Well, look next week.
Don't buy it on eBay. There's going to be reprints out there.
Everyone's
They're going to be back next week. I mean, there's more
first prints next week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they did a huge print run. So, yeah.
So the, the next book we're going to talk about, Mighty Avengers number 1, could have easily been pick of the week.
Yeah.
I think. Really? I loved this book.
I loved it,
which
too.
Is amazing because I hate all the characters in it. coming out of Civil War.
It's funny because actually a friend of mine read it a couple weeks before it came out and emailed me and said, you're really going to like this. And whenever somebody says that, you know, kiss them away, I'm like, yeah, let me read it first, blah, blah, blah. And I loved it.
This is the kind of book that reminds you that Bendis is fucking good.
Well, he pushed it. I remember months and months and months on one of the Word Balloon podcasts where they were talking about inner dialogue and all that kind of thing. And he's like, I'm working on something. It's not gonna be out for a while, but when it comes out, and this must have been it. And I love to see the thought balloons back.
Well, I was gonna ask you guys, what do you guys think? Thought balloons have pretty much been phased out of comics for years now, and he's on a mission to bring them back.
Loved it.
I thought he used them really well.
Loved it. Totally loved it.
Josh?
A little distracting, but I got used to it. Just because I'm not used to them being right. there anymore.
Yeah. Yep.
My thing, the reason I liked them, or at least his use of them, is like, for instance, there's a scene here where the Wasp is flying around and she's thinking to herself. Mm-hmm. In the past, that would have been either a dialogue balloon, yep. which to me I always thought was ridiculous because you don't usually think and talk to yourself while you're doing stuff. Mm-hmm. Or it would have been a caption box. I just think they're really just replacing for the caption box.
Well, because the other thing that's happening is that people are writing with multiple caption boxes per...
And it's getting confusing.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I liked about the use of it was truly inner dialogue. And, like, you know how you're having a conversation or you're doing stuff with people and you've got, at least I do, I've got a running commentary going on in my head, like at meetings at work and stuff like that. And this was all reactionary, you know, like in the fight, like in the scene where Wasp was, I think that you're talking about, when Wasp was talking to herself and Ares helps her out. And she's like, you know, thanks, you know, and her thought is like, whoever you are, you know, right. like, it's just like, you know, and it, like, and I thought that was really, I mean, it felt really, once you got used to it, admittedly, it was mm-hmm. a little jarring in the first couple of pages, and even like the conversations between Carol and Tony, mm-hmm. where you see, like, they're having the conversation, but you see what they're thinking as they're doing mm-hmm. it, I just thought it was great. I thought it was awesome.
I think at one point I think for me, it felt a little quippy, like some of them were kind of cheaper jokes. And yeah. as he was trying to, like, Carol's standing between Ares and Iron Man, she's like, men, geez. And, like, a lot of them were sort of lower-level jokes for him.
Yeah.
And that's the only... I thought they
yeah,
were
you don't think that people think that stuff?
No, I mean, they do. I just think that one of the... You can take writing and you can do really obvious things and beat it over your head. You cannot. And, you know, part of it is I'm just not used to seeing it.
I think also part of it has to do with the tone of the book, too.
Yeah.
No, I like the fact that it showed that Tony was constantly multitasking because he'd be doing yep. one conversation and he'd be thinking about something else completely different at the same time.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, what's Robert Evans doing on the Avengers?
that's all Cho, apparently. Apparently Bendis isn't against that.
Is against his old suit?
Yeah, is against the trench coat Wonder Man.
And the that originally asked to be in the Avengers.
what do we think of Cho's art?
I love Cho's art. I always have loved Cho's art.
It was great. It's great.
It's going to be really disappointing when Angel Medina does the fill-in arcs.
Yeah.
That's going to be awful.
But I really didn't like the art.
He's the McFarlane-ish guy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'll believe when I say, like, when it comes out, I'll check it out. You know,
right. Well, unless it completely changes the style.
I really didn't like the Iron Man colored helicarrier. I was like,
it's a transformer-y. It's the big Heinz ketchup mobile.
Yeah.
I like the fact that they brought back the basically Mole at the end, Ultron pops out.
Oh, I thought
the Mole new Man. Female naked Ultron.
Yeah.
But they did reference
because it worked with Ultimate Vision, so yeah, why exactly. not do it here?
Back in Avengers Deconstructed, they made some throwaway line about how they never really knew if they beat Ultron. He could be living in Tony Stark's armor.
Yep.
We never know, and apparently he has.
Yep.
You know, like that's a line back from like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So the question is, what happened to Tony?
That is Tony. He just Ultron was tagging along in the armor.
Right, but now Tony has boobs?
No, it's not Tony, is it? No, that's Ultron.
Yeah, but what happened to Tony's body?
Is Tony in the armor at that point, or is he not in the armor at that point? Like, what happened to Tony's physical body?
Hopefully he's dead.
Brilliant. I love Mole Man, and I really like Ares. I haven't read. I didn't.
I liked Ares.
I didn't read
too.
Anything, but I thought the whole scene of recruiting Ares was hysterical. Yeah. It was like, you know, I make $10 an hour here.
$44
$44.
What's funny is that like Iron Man kind of like ooh, yeah. Warbird's like nothing for him.
I know. Well, that's
Warbird's like really.
Yeah.
So what are the Avengers? Marvel. Don't make much, really. I mean, they're comfortable, but they're not.
They're not construction workers.
I guess not.
It'll be interesting to see how Mighty Avengers compares to the new Avengers.
Yes,
the underground Avengers. I'm really curious to see about what team we like better. You know, like I'm kind of interested in that.
Well, they're both Bendis books, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Civil War: The Initiative was the casualty of my Cap anger.
Yeah,
I was gonna buy it. And then I was so angry about Cap being dead, I said, screw this, screw all of you, I'm out. I didn't buy it, so you guys tell me if I made a mistake or not.
Well, I believe we have opposing viewpoints on this.
Yeah, point, counterpoint. I enjoyed it. I didn't. Now, admittedly, because I buy with reckless abandon, I didn't notice the price tag. So the fact that it was $4.99 slipped my attention.
Does that change your feeling on the book?
Not so much. I mean, you got to bend a script with an Ellis scene in the middle, and I enjoyed it.
Horrible mid-90s Sylvester art.
I didn't mind it. Honestly, I didn't mind it. It didn't get me.
Poop on a stick.
Yeah, well.
I
it had the Gray Gargoyle.
I picked this up because I saw Bendis and Ellis on the front. I thought, all right, you know, it'll be fine. It's a one-shot. It says right there on the cover, one-shot. I didn't look at the thing either. I didn't look at the price either. I saw it later. First of all, the cover, Cap Shield doesn't have bullet holes in it. It's the whole point of Cap Shield.
Right.
But but like the thing that sort of got me is that this felt like it was like I was buying a preview issue of stuff. It was a preview for...
Well, there were previews at the end.
You know what? No, but the initial story...
Half the issue was preview, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that's part of it, which is what they got me with on Ultimate Spider-Man 100, which pissed me off.
Yeah.
And it'd be one thing if I didn't have to pay for it, but apparently I did have to pay for it, which I didn't like. It was reprints of stuff that was already going to be in other books. So
or books
reprints.
You already bought that week.
Right, there's exactly. Captain America's in there. Mighty Avengers is in here. I bought these books.
Is it a preview if it's coming out the same exact time?
I don't know.
That's annoying.
But basically it was a setup for the Omega Flight stuff that's coming up.
It was a lot of setup. It was set up for Omega Flight.
And then I thought the Thunderbolt story was, what was the, there was no point. It was just like, here's the Thunderbolts capturing a random hero.
Yep.
And that I don't care. I don't need to see that. That's not why I was reading that.
The Ms. Marvel Spider-Woman story was the part was good, though. And that's a setup, that's a setup for the Spider-Woman
right,
stuff.
Right, and so the little couple of Bendis things that did stuff were interesting to me, but like... It wasn't worth the whole thing for whatever reason. I think I feel cheated on the whole thing. And besides that, I hate this art. I can't
terrible.
Stand
yeah.
this. Man. And I opened it up at the very beginning, and you see Mark Silvestri pencils. And then under that is a section, Top Cow Productions Art and Letters. So the whole thing is produced like a Top Cow book, which is not a style I like in my books. Yeah. Like, look at background artists. It's two different guys. Inks, there's three different guys. Like, come on.
We should
do a book. Do the book.
We should address the thing that's causing a lot of confusion amongst people, which is the... Spider-Woman,
Ms. Marvel,
this conversation about Cap not really being dead.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are taking that to believe that Cap's not dead. And in fact, what they're saying is that that's part of the story. She's lying to other heroes.
To try to bring Spider-Woman in. Yeah.
So is that it?
And
yeah. It's really?
That's what Cassandra's saying, yeah.
And that's what Bendis has said, too. Yeah. So
It's something that's going to come to fruition later on, the lying about Cap not being dead.
Yeah.
So it's not a mistake. It's not... Or it could be a mistake they're just covering, but it's not... It's not evidence that Cap really isn't dead, and then that's Miss Marvel's ass, and that's awful.
There's a nipple shot in here that's just ridiculous.
You know, it had Gray Gargoyle.
Yeah.
Which is good in my book.
You're like one of those people who send us the angry emails about our movie reviews saying, they had a fastball special, so you should have liked the movie.
No, I was just happy to say, Gray Gargoyle. I haven't seen him in a while.
It's the same thing. That's the same thing. Same mentality.
But, yeah, I didn't mind that
page where it says, but that's all in a day's work for the Thunderbolts. You know, Warren Ellis was laughing his ass off that they paid him to do this. As opposed to Bendis.
I think you give Warren Ellis far too much credit.
What do you mean?
Like that he thinks
they're paying me to do this. Yeah, I totally think he's doing that, especially on this one. Not so much in the main book, but I think that this was.
I just think that's a bold statement to think somebody. I mean, this is profession-y, right? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. He's like doing things to stick it to Marvel. I mean, they're paying.
I don't think it's Marvel. Yeah. I think it's like the Marvel's paying for this, and fans like this.
Yeah.
And he's not really.
Yeah.
At least not this. Like, the main book's different. This was just a throwaway. Like, I didn't know what the point was. It feels to me like it was, like, here to make me buy Thunderbolts. I'm already buying it. I didn't need you to do that.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I'm so far not interested in the initiative.
I don't think I'm going to buy it now. I was going to, and now I'm not.
Oh, well, I don't think this is the representative.
No, no, it's not, but yeah, I don't...
Because
it's, I
mean, Slot's writing that, and it, I don't even know who's on art on it. But, I mean, you know, I don't know.
I mean, but I saw this big checklist of stuff that was, the initiative, and I was like...
You mean initiative as an event?
Cause
as an, okay,
I was like,
sorry,
I don't want to do this. Yeah. I thought we were done with
I'm done with Marvel events for now. No more, no Hulk, no initiative, nothing.
We'll
I'm
see. In March, there's the initiative, Black Panther, no. Captain America, yes. Battle Damage Report, no. The Confession, no. Fantastic Four, no.
The Confession is supposed to be Bendis' wrap-up story for the
Civil the epilogue?
War.
Oh, maybe I will get that. So. No, but of these, I'm only getting like 3 books. You know?
Yeah, just forget it. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. I'm going to do Omega Flight.
I don't care.
I might give the first one a shot to like Oming.
Yeah.
I'm not traditionally liked Oming's art or writing very much. I like his art very much.
What have you read that you didn't like that he wrote?
What's the Thor one he did?
Ares?
No, he did Hammer of the Gods. Yeah, I've read that. I didn't really love the Cross Bronx very much.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It wasn't my style for whatever reason. So I'm not saying it's bad.
There's another book that I almost could have picked to pick the week, and that was Ultimate Spider-Man 106.
It's like every other issue.
I know.
It's like every other issue.
Coming out of the Clone Saga now, it's back on track.
Marvel.
I love how Bendis remembered that he has a job. Peter Parker has a job at the Bugle, which is great.
I thought that there was just great banter and dialogue in this issue. I love the twist of bringing Kitty Pryde into the school.
Very good, yeah, very, very good.
I loved the note conversation, the conversation back and forth that they had on the paper.
Yep.
Because I used to do that in school.
So did I. I still do that at work.
Jessica Jones was funny. Yeah. He wrote Jessica Jones and Daredevil in the same issue.
Yeah. You know, he's like giggling. You can hear him.
I really like the scene where they had Shang-Chi.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the Kingpin.
Trying to infiltrate.
Like the Kingpin is not falling for it for a second.
Yeah.
No, this is
I'm excited
fun.
For this arc. This arc
it's
this
just such good classic comic booking, man. This is Bendis's like love letter to Spider-Man comics, really. Like it's just so solid. So good for so long.
It's almost unreal how long it's been.
So you've completely washed away the fact that you hated the Clone Saga.
Yeah, no, it's over. It's over. It's done. Move on.
Behind me.
Nice. You're not holding the grudge or anything.
No. Because I knew what he's capable of. It's just a hiccup.
Yeah. And
this is Bagley's last arc.
Yes. It is, yeah.
Apparently in 111 or 112.
111.
They actually switch off in the book.
Yeah. Both of them.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting to see how that is handled. So.
I keep saying this. Criminal Number 5 was also a possible pick of the week. This was also, you know, this was a great book.
Yeah.
And it's a Brubaker book, so he had quite a week.
He did, yeah. It was a big Brubaker week.
I feel bad for him having Criminal come out this
same week.
So, I saw somebody commented on his MySpace page that, like, you know, I'm going to say the one thing nobody's saying else this week. Criminal Number 5 was awesome, you know? Yep.
But it's possible he did it on purpose so that people would say like it, and then they could say, well, what else can I read? And then it goes.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, possibly. So this wraps up the first story arc of the Criminal.
Violent ending.
Very violent ending. It really ended the only way it could.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know,
everybody basically dying.
Yeah. So very Shakespearean.
Yeah.
But but it was good. Yeah.
I was going to say it's Tarantino-ing, but I guess that's more correct.
it's
where do you get that?
It's really, you know, it's the commentary on the lifestyles that there's really no way to go from that but to
death.
So what I didn't realize now is that. Goatee guy is not the main character.
No, it's going to be rotating stories.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
It's like an anthology. Almost.
I can deal with that.
Yeah, the idea isn't about the Goatee guy; it's about criminals.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And if you read in the back, the next arc—it's not completely unrelated. The next arc is about a guy who's referenced in this story.
That I like. If they're linked like that, that's cool. That's continuity.
Unfortunately, the problem is with both this issue and the next issue of Captain America; they'll both be out in May.
Right.
Right. That's true.
Which is really like
long enough to forget.
Yeah,
you know.
There's no reason why Captain America should be delayed by 2 months.
Especially now, there's all those people coming into the store.
Yeah.
Who are going to want?
That's a big miss. Yeah, that's a very big miss.
I don't know why they're doing that.
Yeah, there's probably a reason somewhere. I just don't want
to. If you like crime books, if you like non-superhero stuff, if you like to have spread your wings a little bit, there's no reason why you shouldn't buy Criminal.
I mean, I imagine they're stupid if they don't scramble and get this first arc in a trade out very quickly.
Yeah.
And if they do, pick it up if you haven't read it, because honestly, if you're looking for something other than superhero kind of stuff, this
and
is...
If you like this, you go get Sleeper.
Yep.
Right, of course,
Sean Phillips is a great in this.
Yeah, so, very, very good.
So, and you know, let's not forget DC.
Who's you know they're doing well. It's just a big week for Marvel.
We talk about the ebb and flow. And
the last 4 or 5 weeks, we did a lot of DC stuff.
Yeah. So, but Justice League of America number 6 did come out, and I believe this was the wrap up.
This is the wrap up for the first arc.
Yep. So, how are you feeling, Connor? Are you okay? It's been a rough week for you with the Captain America thing, and I know Justice League is a sore spot.
If this hadn't been the last issue, I would have dropped this book.
Really?
This was one of the worst comics I've read in a while.
Oh, wow.
I could barely make it through. It took me 2 tries to finish this comic.
It was a little confusing.
I couldn't even tell you what the first arc was about.
I think it had to do with Red Tornado. Just in general.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know what the plot of the first arc was.
Vixen just came out of nowhere.
Everything came out of nowhere in this. Yeah. This is one of the most... frustrating comics.
It doesn't feel unified yet.
Nope.
It doesn't feel... It still feels all over the place. So.
There's no cohesiveness in this book whatsoever.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and stay on message here. I didn't mind it. All through this, every issue, you guys, you know.
So Meltzer's a big writer, right? Meltzer's a big, you know,
New York Times bestselling author.
Yeah. How do you feel about the line, "Hey, face, meet Mace," when Hawkgirl smacked Amazo in the face?
I think he's got a lot of love for Silver Age comics, and he's writing sort of in that style and sort of in a modern style, and the two things come together.
I have to say, while I agreed with Connor about this issue, about it kind of being all over the place, I did agree with Josh that generally I'm still buying it. I kind of really like Red Tornado, and I...
Yeah, you don't have to worry about him anymore.
Well, you're happy then, because he's all over the book.
It was brutal when he got his arm ripped off.
Yeah, that was.
Solomon Grundy, yeah.
So I'll give the next arc a shot, but I'm really at the point of dropping this book.
That's amazing.
If you drop this book, I don't know what I'll do.
I really dug in this. One of the things I really liked about this was when they were talking about how the Justice League took down the bad guys, basically. Yeah. And it was like describing, you know, like they don't have to talk to each other. Here goes this, and then this happens, and then this.
Yep.
You know, and Batman's the only one left standing, and, you know, I totally had fun with it. And I don't know where Vixen came from. I know she's been flying around for about 6 issues and stuff. But I have like a sort of affinity for her from the Animal Man stuff that I read sort of recently.
Okay, I want you then to explain to me what happened in the first 6 issues.
Okay. Solomon Grundy
didn't want to die.
No, I want him to do it.
Okay, fine.
Didn't want to die. I don't think he knows any more than I do.
No, not so much.
I don't want you to collaborate. I want one person to tell me what happened in this issue.
Okay, Solomon Grundy didn't want to die, so he got the mad scientist dude to help him build a body that would absorb
Amazo.
No, Red Tornado into an Amazo.
Yeah, it was Red Tornado's robot body.
Yeah.
What happened was they fooled Red Tornado into going into a human body to abandon his robot body.
Right.
And then they merged the Red Tornado robot bodies into an Amazo body.
I thought Amazo took over that body as sort of a third party that they didn't expect.
Right, I think you're right, actually. Because Solomon Grundy was supposed to go into the body, I think.
Yes!
Yes.
Solomon Grundy was supposed to go into the body so he could die.
Right,
he wanted to die, or he didn't want to die?
He didn't want to, because every time he dies, he has a new personality. He didn't want to go through that again.
Okay, you two guys are seasoned comic book readers, and it took two of you to collaborate into figuring out the story.
We're not even sure we did it. Yeah. By the way, how about Hal Jordan with a giant pair of green sisters?
That was good. Good classic use of the Green Lantern powers.
Yeah.
So
this is a mess. This book is a freaking mess.
I don't mind it, though.
No, I like it.
It's fun enough. Yep. Anyway, so...
It would be fun if it was fun. It's not fun. It's work to read this book.
Just stay with it, please. Like I said, I don't want to live in a world where you don't read the Justice League.
I know, it's a weird
world. It's like me giving up on Uncanny.
You should.
But what if you needed a t-shirt?
Why don't you shut up?
What if you're a geek who needed a t-shirt?
I need a t-shirt.
Well, then maybe you should go to geekarmor.com.
Okay, let me type.
They've got comic book t-shirts and video game t-shirts and sci-fi and movie and all those kind of shirts that say to the world, I like to talk on the internet. I'm a geek.
I spend a lot of time on message boards.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Looking at you, Fred.
You can go to geekarmor.com and help support the show because they help support us. That's geekarmor, the American spelling, ARMOR.com. And thanks very much.
Cool. So let's move on to our letters.
All righty. First email is coming from Yasmin in Hong Kong. And it was actually a good question, I thought. What makes art good for you? Is it a realistic style, a cartoony kind of thing, clean colors, lots of darkness and shadows, like Jay Lee's stuff? What kind of artists do you like? You know, they named a couple, you know, Greg Land, the Touchstone ones, Greg Land, Frank Quietly, Rob Liefeld, and Jim Lee. What do you, I mean, Ron, what do you think? What?
For me, it's a reactionary, almost emotional kind of thing. Like, I look at art and go, yes, no, yeah, you know, and I
that's what art is.
Yeah, right. And the thing is, like, I can't tell you what it was about Travis Charest's work in the 90s that I loved versus, I'm trying to think of an artist I hate. Who's an artist I hate?
You hate.
I know, I'm full of hate.
No, you're not about art. You hate writers.
I'm very apologist for art. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Because I like that they're doing something. I like that they're trying.
It's true.
But for me, it's very, no, but there
even
is art.
Even the worst art takes a lot of effort.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I can't fucking do it. You've seen me try to draw. Yeah, so I mean, it's for me, it's a very reactionary kind
of
thing.
There's a lot of reactionary. I think a lot about storytelling. It's like Darwin Cook is one style I really like.
It's about fit. There's an artist I hate. Who was that? Keep talking.
It's about fit, really. Yeah, I mean, like, certain artists fit with certain writers or certain kinds of stories, and it's really good when those things all work together. Conversely, it's really interesting when an artist that you wouldn't think would work on something goes with something. And I didn't read this, but I think that you mentioned Darwin Cook. Darwin Cook with Ed Brubaker on Catwoman doesn't, on paper, make sense to me. But from what I hear, it worked out great.
Yes.
And Ron's remembered?
Bocciolo.
Chris Bocciolo.
Don't like anything he's ever done.
Can't tell. Well, I don't want to say can't tell a story. Every time I've tried to read his stuff, I'm very confused by his storytelling. Yep. It's not clear to me. In the way that, say, Sean Phillips' art, he's a fantastic storyteller.
Right.
Or other people.
I do find that as the older I get, the more... I get less towards the flash and more towards the simpler storytelling, strong suits like Sean Phillips and Darwin Cook and Tim Sale.
Yeah, I think we've grown beyond the splash page.
The splash page. Yeah. And I mean, that's one of those things that Civil War initiative bugged me. There's splash pages, and I don't want to see.
Although I still will enjoy a Jim Lee book.
Right, I love a Jim Lee book.
Which is still part of my thing, but. Yeah. We have to mention that Greg Land is a fucking hack.
Yes, we're anti Greg Land. Sorry,
I thought you were more of an apologist.
No way.
Fuck all him.
Right. I dropped Tracer. The ultimate power. He was a good artist when he was an artist.
Not
actually
Tracer.
Drew it, and now he just
when he did Nightwing.
Yeah, he actually drew. Now he just photographed.
What about Frank Quietly? Where do you feel
I love
about
Frank
him?
Quietly.
I like him.
If his stuff ever actually came out,
the thing is that I try not to tie. Like, I love Steve McNiven. Everybody, you know how I feel about McNiven. I love McNiven, and I'm ultimately pissed off for what happened with Civil War. Not it has nothing to do with his art. I'm just pissed off. Like, I'm a strong believer in the monthly book, and if you can't do a monthly book, don't sign up for it, or don't put it out until it's out.
Or
do buy monthly, or stockpile the issues. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I've worked for years in production. You can figure out a way to get the issues in the can before you put them out.
It's all different kind of things. I think Jay Lee is one of my favorite artists.
Yeah.
There
he's a completely different style than other people.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I tend to lean to a lot is, I don't want to say cartoony, but it's sort of what it is. If you think of guys like, you remember a book a long time ago that Ed Brubaker did with this guy named Warren Pleece?
No. What was it called?
Dead Enders?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Sorry, I didn't tell the title.
Right, yeah. I can't read your mind.
Is that, or like the way that Eminem's been drawing lately? Yeah. I really like that. I think it fits really well.
Well, it's funny how some artists evolve and change. Like, for example, I'm a huge Ron Garney fan solely because of his Captain America work in the late 90s and the run at Silver Surfer, which to me is like, I'm like frantically looking to buy original art from that run and stuff like that. I'm not so jazzed about what he's been doing on Spider-Man recently.
He's one of those artists whose style change has been negative.
Yeah, exactly.
We've also talked about how sometimes the more modern production techniques can
work.
It's not that.
Something he did on Silver Surfer, I don't know if it was the inking or whatever, but it was tight lines. It was tight lines and stuff like that. And it was very, I mean, it's if you look, I could show you the two pages.
You know what I used to hate, but I really like now, is John Romita Jr.
Oh, I always loved him.
I used to look at it and be like, "This is." And now, there's something about it that I love.
Yeah.
So I read somewhere somebody said that Ron Garney never recovered from Captain America being canceled.
I believe that
because that's really where the art changed.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So. Next, we're going to move on, and Chris had a question, which I believe another letter might answer. We'll get to it. Chris was thinking about wanted to ask if Nightwing was worth it, if he should read it, where he should start. He's got the Infinite Crisis hardcover, and he's reading through it and really likes it, and he knows that there's 52 next, but where to go from that? So, what's a good place to go with Nightwing?
They should have killed him. I'm firmly behind DC. I'm pissed that they didn't kill him. I think it would have been awesome.
Oddly enough, we got another letter from John in Brooklyn who's got an answer for you. I was thinking how terrible Nightwing has been lately, and it makes me sad. I really enjoyed him from The Outsiders, and I thought to pick up his solo book, and oh, is it bad. If it could only be as good as Robin, the current crap that is Nightwing, and the current gold that is Robin makes me wonder, sort of back to the same area, is there a definitive Nightwing story arc? Is there a trade that we would suggest? And for that, we turn to our resident Dick Grayson.
Resident Dick Grayson expert.
You know what's really bad is when Nightwing and Robin come out the same week. Yeah. And you're just like, ugh, you hold one and you just want to toss the other in the garbage.
They really are redundant.
They're not redundant. They should have killed Nightwing. They're not even not in the least they're not. Redundant. It's just they don't. One is so badly written and one is so good.
Nightwing, I don't mean by redundant in story. I mean like in characters.
They're not at all redundant. All
right, whatever.
They're not. Kill him. I say we kill him.
I'll tell you what. We'll kill him after we kill Cyclops.
And see how fuck you. That. See, exactly. Leave him alone.
He's redundant.
No.
There's Dick a Cable.
There's Havoc. I mean.
That was good.
Nightwing has not been good since Chuck Dixon left, which is like, when was CrossGen? 6 or 7 years ago?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about a run of 6 or 7 bad years.
Yep. But
he's good at every other book.
But back then, Chuck Dixon, oddly enough,
he owned the Bat.
He owned the Bat family. He was great on that stuff. I haven't liked a damn thing he's done since then.
No.
Nightwing Year One was good. I bought that in trade. I like.
Yeah,
that.
Well, that's Chuck Dixon too.
Yeah.
I'm saying if you're looking for big,
answer the question. I'm sorry.
Oh, jeez. If you're looking for good Nightwing stuff, anything. I think it's the first 100 or so issues that he did of the
when he
Nightwing
first went
series.
To Bloodhaven and all that. Yep. I remember that was good. He became a cop, didn't he? Like that.
Those were
good. I was reading it back then.
Which I didn't really like that choice, but it worked out well. So. If you're looking for good Nightwing, anything Chuck Dixon did first.
Yeah. Teen Titans?
I don't know how much it's collected in trades.
I think some of it is in trades, but Outsiders? Just avoid anything. He's okay in The Outsiders. He's
what about the old Teen Titans books?
Old Teen Titans.
Well, if you look for classic stuff, I mean.
Well, no, but even like the late 90s, early 2000s when they got the Titans.
It's all right.
Oddly enough, the Teen Titans stuff that's considered classic was written by Marv Wolfman, who's currently.
Well, that's the problem. Marv Wolfman currently writes Nightwing, and he writes Nightwing like he. Like he's still
like he was Disco Nightwing.
Like he's still in '86, you know. Yeah, Disco
ouch.
Nightwing.
Nightwing Boogie.
It's just not modern. Doesn't fit anymore.
So, bring back the high collar. That's what I say. The low neckline.
Oh. Chuck Dixon.
Kill Nightwing.
Chuck Dixon, Nightwing. Yes, everything else so far.
There's not a lot of great Nightwing that we can point you to. No.
There's a lot.
He's good in other things. I think. I mean, like he was.
No. There's a lot. It's all from
Those Dixon issues were really good. I read it for a few years, and I remember it being really.
It was a great cohesive universe because Dixon was writing Nightwing and Robin and Detective Comics.
Birds of Prey.
So he was writing all the Batman books. So he was able to. You like cohesive universes? He was writing everything. Yeah. So he made it all interconnected. It all worked together.
Greg Land was the artist on those Nightwing books.
Some of them. Scott McDaniel did most of them.
Right.
Scott McDaniel.
Yeah. It was good stuff back then.
Yeah, it was good.
Next email comes from David, who says, this is for Ron, kind of specifically, writing this on a Tuesday, 2 days before the OC ends. I know that Ron really likes the show, as do I, so I have a few things to ask, comment about. First of all, I want to ask if there are any comic books that have come out in the last 20 years or so that you think are similar to...
20 years?
It's a big... similar to the OC. When I have to say this, I don't necessarily mean they have to be set in California and have whiny teenagers like Seth in them. But I'm looking for books that capture the real emotional character development and made me fall in love with that show in the first place, if there's anything like that.
All right, well, before we answer the question, my God, I can't take a series finale anymore. I was a wreck that night. I mean, like, I've lived through Party of Five, 90210, Dawson's Creek, 6 Feet Under, all these series finale episodes, the last episodes.
Your first period.
They kill me. Well, no, that's the first. I'm like, imagine my last period.
I think you missed the joke.
I know, I'm kidding. They just absolutely kill me. They just like I was a wreck. It was miserable.
Tissue boxes all over the
not
place.
Not even that. Cause
he's
like,
got a blanket wrapped around his shoulder and he's sobbing.
Oh God, I just can't take it.
So anyway, was it a good ending?
It was great. They ended it really, really well.
Is Seth whiny?
No, I don't think Seth is whiny. So
let's move on.
As far as comics that are similar to the emotional response of the OC, in terms of relationshipy, I mean, like, we're contractually bound to recommend Strangers in Paradise, but not for any other reason, because it's good. I mean, like, talk about capturing emotions. Strangers completely does it. There was a book, if you want to talk about emotions amongst teens, the art is rough, but it was out in the mid-90s. It's in reprints. A book called Shades of Grey by Jimmy Gownley. He's currently doing a kid-based book called Amelia Rules, which I actually just picked up in the New York Con for my niece Amelia. Whatever, it's her name. She's 4.
Move it along.
But
hi, Amelia.
So, Shades of Grey was about a bunch of kids
and one liked the other one didn't like him. She liked somebody else, and like I said, the art was kind of early on in his artistic career, so it's a little, you know, a little rudimentary, but it got that emotion. It really did it really well. Mm-hmm. I would say recently, C.B. Sabluski's Wanderlust. While it's somewhat autobiographical, it was pretty honest in terms of the emotions, in terms of teen interaction, that sort of thing.
I could. The first thing that I thought of was The Waiting Place, which by Sean McKeever.
Which is another great one.
It was out by Slave Labor. Yeah. There's three volumes of that out. Yep. I don't think it ever finished.
I think the third one wrapped
but
it up.
But Sean McKeever's now going to be on Countdown, so yeah. that's who he is.
But The Waiting Place is a very good recommendation.
Oh, I know another one. That book that you guys, I think one of you refuses to buy because of the title, Stylish Vittles.
I bought it. Yeah,
I did.
Yeah, that was good. Stylish Vittles is very good.
That's actually a really good
one. Yeah, we found that at San Diego together. We found it in Artist Alley. Yep. Yeah. Or whatever, the small indie kind
of. Yeah,
I hate the word Vittles.
Yeah, it's tough, but he's from the Midwest, so.
And then
Blankets, I recently recommended to a friend, and she just, I mean, talk about emotional kind of response. So Blankets by, what's his name, Craig Thompson?
Or, yes.
Yep.
And I want to say P. Craig Thompson, that's somebody else, right? P.
Craig Russell.
I would go out on a whim, and even though it's considered superhero, Runaways.
I don't think that's off at all.
Runaways is teens, and it's very emotional.
It's as much about teens.
Well, what about Hein? I mean, God forbid we say something about Hindberg.
Young Avengers, great example.
I mean, Hindberg wrote for the OC. So
that's a really good point.
What about Blue Monday?
So thank you for reminding me. Blue Monday by China Clugston, which is out by Oni.
Ron and I love books like this, by the way.
Yeah, totally. And actually, a whole bunch of Jamie S. Rich has been writing stuff for Oni, which I've just been reading.
Yeah, you're just reading
12 Ways I Love Her and Love the Way You Love and stuff like that. They've been great. They've blown me away.
Check out Andy Watson's Oni stuff.
Yeah, but that's not
Hero Fights.
No, not Love Fights. You mean
Love Fights?
No, and Little Star. But Andy Watson's is more subtle, and it's emotional, but it's not dramatic. You know, it's not like soap operatic.
Wow, that took a while.
That did take a while. But anyway, yeah. So those are some recommendations. I'm glad you're interested in that kind of stuff because I love it, and I honestly think there's a lack of those kind of books going on right now. So if you're a creator, do it.
Okay.
I'll buy it.
Time for voicemails.
Yay, voicemails.
First voicemail comes from Robert.
Hi, guys. This is Robert in San Jose again. Couple things. I have decided that I am no longer going to participate in the Marvel Universe. It ended in Civil War and the killing of Captain America, and that's that. When comic book writers break faith, I just don't want to put up with that shit anymore. Secondly, I am not buying any comic that can't be put out on a regular basis. If it can't come out on a monthly, I just can't do that anymore. And that eliminates a lot of regular superhero comics anymore. I'll buy trades. I'll keep up with the storylines and finish them off. But yuck, this has been horrible. I am just so depressed. Ron, read Sandman if you want. Don't if you don't want. No big deal. It's just a way for people like me to get out of reading superhero comics and find another way to find a fantasy adventure without the spandex.
Finally, some relief on the whole Sandman issue. Thank you. Everyone, listen to him. Jeez. So he's done with Marvel.
Well, okay.
Okay. They don't want you.
It is a problem. I mean, it is getting frustrating. I think a lot of people are getting angry about the chronic lateness.
But he said it in his own thing that he's just going to buy trades. So okay, so, fun.
Okay, just right. Change your habit.
There's a lot of fans that get sort of self righteous about stuff, and I'm not accusing you of doing that because Connor actually talked about it a little. He's like, I don't want to buy Marvel stuff anymore, but like. I don't know. The story wasn't bad. I guess if you don't like the theme.
But the thing is, if you don't like it, then you're in your rights to stop buying.
And you know what? I think, frankly, on the other side of things, more comic books fans need to stop buying stuff when they don't like it.
Yeah, use your dollar.
So that's good, but you could be missing out on a lot. But there's only two companies, and you don't want to go to one. Yeah. What if your favorite guy goes exclusive to Marvel?
You're
going to go back on your word.
Well,
that's
clearly, exactly, yeah.
Clearly the cap later. Death has touched nerves.
Yeah, it's touched so many nerves, actually. We got inundated with voicemails this week. We got a ton. So unfortunately, we couldn't play them all. So everybody, we heard you. But really, this next one pretty much sums it up.
Hey, guys. This is Dave in Denver driving to work. And I'm listening to NPR, and it just told me that Steve Rogers passed away today. And I guess I'm just kind of freaking out. It's I don't know what to do or who else to call, but I just need some support at times like these.
Dave, listen to me. I'm talking to you. I would be looking at you in the eye.
It's going to be okay, man.
Shh. It's going to be all right.
Breathe.
Shh.
Breathe.
There was genuine emotion in that call.
I know it's hard. I know. Shh. It's going to be okay. It's all right. I'm hugging you.
Oh, now it's getting weird.
No, it's all right. He needs support.
It's okay. He's doing the pat with the hug, right, so it's all exactly. Right.
Shh. No rubbing?
Shh. It's going to be okay.
Next week, you know, we'll go back to 52. It's fine.
Here's another thought.
This is Daryl. I'm not really stalking because I'm on the bus. But anyway, that cap, killing cap, it really seems like Marvel is taking everything back to the 90s. And how everything was a gimmick. Everything was, it went on, that issue went on eBay for $200. A $3.99 issue, $200. I just really think that it's setting a really bad trend. And things are going back to the way the 90s was with the collector's market. Later.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good one, Daryl.
Way to go.
I think the difference between this and the 90s is that the speculator market lasted about 20 hours.
It was a fun 20 hours, though. It was a roller coaster.
I was like, I really think I should just sell mine to take advantage of these people. And then I talked with Connor, he's like, you can't. And I was like, why? He goes, you have to be above that. And I was like, it's true.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, I posted when I found it. I'm sitting there, I'm plugging away on the web, and I look in the Google ads because I'd like to see what comes up. And they're like, Captain America, landmark issue. Click here. I was like, oh, $55? I was like, it came out yesterday. It was $2.99.
Yeah, but then a day later.
The Apex, I think we saw, was the set of two went for $202.
Yep.
That was about 12 hours after the book came out. But then if you look the very next day, they're already just ghost town on eBay. It's the glut of,
well, because everybody went, well, shit, I can make money. And everybody's wives like, you should put it up there.
It was like the comic book equivalent of the PS3 in November. So, remember that? No, when they were for like $3,000, then like a week later, it was like that. None of you could buy it at like the reserve. It was crazy. Yeah. So
he's making a point about story too, and their event based things.
Right.
And I do believe that there are shades of that happening. I think that the writing is a bajillion times better. I think they learned from their mistakes in the 90s, where they're going to do events now, but they're going to make sure they have stories to back them up for the most part.
Right.
Yeah.
I could have done without the chromium cover.
I like the embossed.
I like the die cut. That was really cool.
And I really appreciate the trading card.
Yeah, that was the trading card.
It's a scary trend, but I really do think that Quesada is trying to toe the line a little bit.
Yeah.
He's like, I got to do events to get other people in the store, because they do need to get more people in the store.
Right.
If, you know, like, I was annoyed that there were a billion people in the store on Friday, but and I would be annoyed that the issue sold out. That's great, though. Thank God.
I mean, that's the thing. We also got a lot of voicemails and a lot of people complaining about it getting spoiled on the day.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we talked about it earlier. You know, that's going to happen. And, like, when something like this happens, and the thing is...
They're going to promote the hell out of it.
It wasn't about the fact that Captain America died.
Uh-huh.
It was how he died in the story, and we got a great story out of it. And the thing is that if they waited to promote it until after you read it, mm-hmm. they're going to miss the window.
Yeah.
And
it would have been sold out.
Yeah.
People then saw it in the New York Times are going to come to the store, and the guy's going to be like, oh, I don't have any copies of it, and then why promote it then?
You know what else is great is that, if there was a title to get people to come read...
Yeah.
What a great one. Like, if somebody's like, I really like this, what can I get? And you hand the people or show them the four Ed Brubaker Captain America, I can't think of something better.
Totally.
That illustrates modern comics or modern superhero comics better than those.
Know what I found really interesting was that my local store was limiting it one per customer, which I thought was interesting.
Hmm.
Because they wanted everyone to get it.
That's good.
That's really good.
That's growth.
Yeah, they're also pissed because like 11 a.m. the phone rang. Someone's like, do you have the issue that Captain America dies? And they didn't know yet because they hadn't read the book. And so they were like, what? So even the comic book store owners got it spoiled. So, but like, you couldn't tell from the cover.
God, I wonder what it would have felt like.
Yeah, it would have been shocking. Yeah. You would have probably heard a yelp from the other room in the work.
Yeah.
But I think a book or two would have been flung, thus ruining their resale value. Right.
Oh, mine! I stuffed in my bag, so it's already, you know, screw that.
Yeah, so I don't know, but it was a tough thing. I really feel as if now has a different vibe. I don't feel like this is the 90s. I think Josh made the perfect point. The story is there,
and
the story and the art is there, and it's not a commodity anymore. It's actually, you know, it's art.
Well, it's
now.
A commodity, but they're also infusing with art. They're not just.
Well, I mean, Joe said specifically, like, I know him. He said, you know,
he's talking to Joe over lunch.
He does alternate covers because they sell. It makes the money.
Hello. But this is a business.
Now, the stuff behind the covers is worth it. And that's the key. Really, it's important to remember that Quesada and Palmiotti were the guys who started to take Marvel out of that.
Yeah.
They, you know, and they're in, you know, Quesada's in charge now. So take some hope in that. You know, right. DC's going great guns. And
yeah, we're in a great time right now. It's definitely not the 90s. So.
Comic fans tend to take a lot of ownership in the characters in the books. They read them the entire lives. They feel like they own the books.
Yep.
They don't own the books. The people who sell the books have to sell the books.
Right, and they've got, and Marvel has shareholders to
they have to sell as many books as they possibly could sell. They
found fishing poles with Spider-Man likenesses.
So I think
I love the licensing business. I want to get that cologne so bad.
I love how they don't know who to advertise for in the books.
Yeah.
If anybody knows where I can buy the cologne,
the Hulk cologne?
Let me or send me
smell
it or
like
something,
rage.
Please. Yeah, exactly. Puny humans. I want to smell like Wolverine. A combination of stale beer and cigar, and mutant,
like a wet dog.
Yeah, exactly. I want the Wolverine scent.
Dog's been rolling around in beer.
Yeah, or the Tony Stark scent, which is, I think,
smells like asshole. So, but I think that what Marvel's found is the best way to sell a lot of books is to combine the crossover, the multiple covers, with the good story and the good content.
Yeah, which honestly, because the thing
really,
is,
who cares?
The thing is, I didn't buy the variant cover.
You don't have to buy all the covers.
Exactly.
I know the mentality is
the variant cover, but I didn't want.
But
to.
it was a one-on-one.
But you didn't buy both. The point is,
I know. Connor was like, "Are you going to get the variant one?" I was like, "This isn't the only one." He's like, "No." He shows me the Epting. I was like, "Oh, I like that way better."
Right. Yeah. And it was a one-to-one. It wasn't even like the McGinnis was like rare or anything. Yeah. You know, which is the way to do it. You know.
But the point is, people need to break from the mentality that they have to buy all the variants. You don't have to. Therefore, you don't need to get angry because you're only buying one comic store.
Yeah, exactly. So,
if you want them, you can have them. If right, not, if don't worry about it. So, as you can see, we need your emails and voicemails. So you can always email us at contact@ifanboy.com, or you can leave a voicemail at 888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697. Call us with anything you want. We're still waiting for those relationship questions.
Oh, we got a we actually got a few of them. We got somebody who was asking where the show was. Well, the show will come along when we get enough relationship questions for a whole show.
Right, so this is an open call out to, if you have relationship, comic book culture, lifestyle questions,
start,
let us know.
Sending them in.
Because we're going to do a special video show.
We so badly want to do this show, you have no idea.
Exactly, and we'll just start making them up.
If they don't come in, we will make fake ones.
So, as you can tell, there's still a lot more stuff to talk about with Captain America, and the talk is Fast and Furious over at ifanboy.com. And over at the Revision,
and all the other
3
big stuff.
Yeah, all over at the Revision 3 message boards. There's all sorts of stuff going on at both of those places.
Speaking of Revision 3, you can check out our video podcast, which comes out every Wednesday. And you can go to ifanboy.com Wednesday at 3 p.m.-ish. It will be posted. Eastern time.
Or if you're new, you can go back and you can watch all the old ones, too.
Exactly.
You can go over to Revision 3 and you can download the high-resolution files of our grinning facade.
Yes.
Our vlog hotness.
Jesus. I guess we should.
I can't believe I lost.
So, for those of you not in the know, there was a contest on Valleywag.com about they're looking for the hottest video bloggers, and somehow I stumbled into the semifinals. Now it appears as if I'm stumbling into the finals. So, come to ifanboy.com. There'll be a link.
Wait a minute, you beat Pedro?
Yeah, it's not
so
over
dreamy.
Yet. We don't know yet. I mean, that's close. Anything can happen.
He was close last
night. There's
a
good chance that I might be in the finals next week after you hear the show. So go to ifanboy.com, check it out. There'll be a post. Please go vote. Help me, because apparently the other guy who's winning in the other
He got over 1,000
votes. There's some rumors about some inappropriate bot-like voting. But I don't know. I can't prove anything, so I don't know. So.
Well, it was a little strange. He went from like 300 votes to like 1,000 plus votes.
Exactly. So it might be a futile effort, but who knows? But any support.
It's all for the show, though.
Yes.
You don't have to think Ron is hot.
Nor does it make you gay to click
it doesn't make you gay.
It's more, basically, the world of Silicon Valley is going to have to recognize the fact that comic book video podcast exists. That's the whole point.
Yes, we're jamming it down their throats.
So that we're not the like, and then there's more nerdy stuff. Here's iFanboy. Yeah. Like, oh, come on.
So please, your help, your support is enjoyable.
If you want to
support. Enjoyable and weird.
Yes.
It's weird for us, too. Don't think it's
freaky.
Not.
Oh, it's very
you
weird.
You can go to frapper.com/ifanboy, frappr.com. Stick your pin in that map, and eventually when they make it work again, we'll be able to do
something.
They
can make it work.
It's cool, though, because I watch and it plays through the different people. You can see where they are.
And they show the most recent people, and we're in like the 700s now. So
it's really cool. It's neat. You can also go to myspace.com/ifanboy or comicspace.com/ifanboy.
And you can go to dig.com and also iTunes and Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle, where you can vote or dig or leave comments or reviews or anything.
Dig the podcast.
Any sort of feedback on the podcast, leaving comments, please leave comments on the iTunes video show.
We love comments.
Yeah. So
go to Dig's podcasting section and you can dig our show and all the episodes.
And leave comments there as
well.
That's
your
thing. So we really appreciate it. And also, if you can get the word out, tell your friends. If you read comics, your friends read comics, your local store, tell them, not even just about us, tell them about podcasts in general. I mean, be a podcast evangelist. I mean, there are such great shows out there like Augie's Pipeline and Around Comics and Word Balloon and stuff like that. Help get the word out. It's pretty cool. So, and also you can go to iTunes and there's a whole section on comics culture right off the podcast main page. The folks at Apple really like the comics podcast, so it's pretty cool.
A little something for everybody. Finally, please, no. If you want to donate to the show, if you want to try our product, we feel so secure about our product that we're willing to accept donations for it at ifanboy.com/donations. Where if you felt like making a small or large cash infusion into the show, we're in no position to say no.
Are you making a money back guarantee?
I promise that we will use the show towards the production of the show. Whether or not you will enjoy what eventually comes out is not something I can guarantee.
We're not liable. No. Speaking of that, though, last week our New York video podcast came out, New York Comic Con special.
Oh, definitely.
And next week, actually, this coming Wednesday, our WonderCon coverage San Francisco is going to be coming out.
It's another big one?
Another big one. Longer than usual. So,
yeah, so if you haven't got a chance to go through that, and if you're new and you've come along and you never got a chance to, you can see our San Diego video from last year.
Yeah, it's in the website.
Which is our nascent video podcasting skills, but it is a fun time, definitely.
And we've survived the first two cons of 2007.
Barely.
New York and San Francisco. A big thanks. Connor and I had a great time in San Francisco, so big thanks to James and the whole gang at Isotope. Yep. And
they really took us in.
Yeah, took us in and made us one of their own. And all the people that came out, Jeff and the Comic Geek Speak guys were there, and Ryan from Santa Cruz. And a whole bunch of people came out, and people stopped us on the con floor at both cons, and it was awesome.
That's great, and everyone was cool, and
we really appreciate it.
And everybody came to the panel too.
Exactly. And Leni from I Read Comics, another great podcast. She was on the panel with us as well. It was a lot of fun, so it was very cool. So
apparently, she reads comics.
She does. It was great because on the panel, we were talking about doing the show, and she was just like, I put out a show when I want to, when I have something to talk about. If I don't have something to talk about, I don't put out a show. And we were just like, can we have your life? We put these things out weekly. No, but it was fun. It was cool. So
yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Okay, I'm going to wrap both of you two talkers.
So we'll check in next week when hopefully it's a little calmer of a week and less money out of my pocket.
I know. I would love six books next week.
Oh, it'd be great.
That would feel good.
So, until then, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
And I'm Josh.
And Cap's dead. Oh, I spoiled it.